You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on March 12th, 2004.
March presents the world of nature with a daily dilemma. What will the weather be like tomorrow? Some notes from the second week in March of 1981 will help to illuminate my thesis. On March 10th, 1981, I wrote, "An acre of blackbirds, redwings and grackles. It originates with a swirling, flowing mass of birds which arrive like a whirlwind to feed in the newly manured field, the gleaners at work. They cover the ground like a black blanket." Just 4 days later, I wrote, "A heavy snow, 5+ inches, fell last night. It was accompanied by enough wind to make the driving hazardous. Salt and sand on the roads create slushy conditions, but that brings horned larks to the roadside, flocks of them along Route 80 between Tully and Sherburne. Also saw a rough-legged hawk perched in a small tree. Looked enormous, like a big ball of gray and tan yarn. Later on, just before Smyrna, observed 2 red-tailed hawks in an elm snag. Most of the wildlife seemed immobilized, but expectant. The hawks waiting for the inevitable emergence of small rodents. The combination of fog and snowfall grayed and muted the background, so that hills and sky often merged to produce a curtain-like backdrop. This is a perfect depiction of March's changeableness, a mild spring-like weekend when the redwings left their lakeside cattail redoubts to forage en masse. The farmer, spreading his manure, had also spread a bounteous banquet table for a variety of wildlife. It is likely that this congregation consisted of a flight of migrants on their way to northern nesting grounds. It might seem imprudent for them to have timed their arrival a few days before a blizzard, but that's the nature of things. Late February or early March arrival is in their genes. At least that's what we presume. Day length appears to be the motivating factor. The hawks may have had common missions, the search for food, but its expression might vary considerably. The roughleg is a northern species, more winter visitant than nester. Its quarry is almost exclusively small rodents. Wherever you see it perching is likely to be a propitious site for rodent emergence. The redtails were probably a pair, since early March is the period for preparation for nesting. It's not certain that these were local birds, but the chances are good that they were. In late winter, redtails, though they dine predominantly on rodents, will search out and devour varied roadkills. In this fashion, birds survive this time of uncertainty, many of them managing to complete their courtship, mating, and nest building, while we are still watching our feeders or perusing our garden catalogs. Robins and bluebirds arrive by mid-March, or maybe they just move out of their winter hideaways into our suddenly more hospitable dooryards. Since the robins don't nest until April, often mid-April hereabouts, you may wonder why mid-March would be a good arrival time. You may observe a certain amount of territorial struggle. The one big happy flock behavior of wintering or migration soon breaks down, and they are about the business of their summer reproductive mission. Bluebirds, too, follow a similar pattern, but even though they may arrive a week later than the robin, they will soon be examining boxes and natural cavities, looking for a place to nest in early April. On the farm where I grew up, it was the horned lark that was most anxious to get an early start. A slight depression, fringed by a few grasses or weeds, either in last year's crop field or pasture, was suitable for the location of their little grassy cups, often fringed by a few pebbles or clods of mud. I was always amazed and often pained by the frequency of failure of those first attempts. Still, in those days, the birds seemed to prosper. Today, flocks of larks or pasture potholes occupied by nests are mighty scarce. What the changeableness of March weather underlines most is the stability and orderliness of the birds' annual timetables. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.